Hey now, it's Mike Gilbert, host of the Mike and JD Show, right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Join JD by God Oliva and myself every Thursday night live on the Voices of Wrestling YouTube channel at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we stay up all night discussing all the hottest stories in professional wrestling. You can also check us out right here on the Voices of Wrestling podcasting feed, or you can subscribe to the Mike and JD Show feed. Now, enjoy the show.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome to Jumping Bomb Audio.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. My name is Taylor, joined as always by my very good friend and co-host, Kelly. Kelly, how goes it?
It's going pretty good. Things are going all right. How about you?
I can't complain so far, so... So far, so good.
Yeah.
Well, on this show, we've got a lot to talk about. We're going to do the same thing we did 2 weeks ago. Not going to do a deep dive on any of these shows, but going to talk a whole number of shows. We've got Wave. We've got Tokyo Joshi, Seedling, Marigold, Stardom. We're going to talk them all. Some big matches, some big results as well. So let's get right into it. But before we do... Of course, we have to do the plugs. Follow us on Twitter at JBombAudio. You can follow Kelly at Comic Geek Kelly. You can follow me at Tay Mambo. Subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice. And if that app of choice happens to be Apple Podcasts, we would really love a 5-star rating and review. And if you're feeling extra generous, you can donate to the show at redcircle.com/shows/jumping-bomb-audio. So let's get right into it. We will start with our first show of the week. That would be the Stardom Corican Hall show from January 13th. Kelly, what did you watch of this show?
I watched the high-speed title match and then the top two title matches, the Ring of Honor and Artist of Stardom title.
So the first thing we got to talk about is the brand new high-speed title rules. That have been implemented that I read about, promptly forgot, and then when I watched the show was like, oh yeah, they changed the high-speed title.
Yep, I did the rules. Same thing.
Now, Two out of three falls. All the high-speed title matches will be two out of three falls with a 10-minute time limit. I guess I'll ask you, Kelly, generally, what do you think of the change and how do you think it was implemented in this match? Or I should say that Mae Sierra, the champion, successfully defending her title against Saki Kashima in 5 minutes and 8 seconds.
Yeah, I don't really care for it. I don't know. It's just, it oddly enough feels like it slows things down because you have to have the short breaks in between the falls. And I don't know. You don't need people dropping falls like this all the time just because it's weird. You know, the first two falls essentially don't really matter. You know, they're always going to go to the third fall. It's one of my barriers I've always had with getting into Lucha is the two out of three fall steps. And everyone's always told me it's like, the first two falls don't matter. And it's like, well, maybe they should. I don't know.
Yeah, I find it very strange in a promotion where, you know, maybe less so now, you know, there are so many time limit draws and it's like, oh, these people are so good to be like, well, we're going to make these matches 10 minutes long. It's like, shouldn't most of them go to a time limit draw? But of course, they're not going to do that. You know, I'm not opposed. I think clearly the company doesn't know what to do with the title. They seemingly don't. I don't know that they don't understand it. They don't really seem to care much about it, as evidenced by the fact that it largely is the same four or five people, and then you get one, you know, Mae Sierra is here, so who's she going to beat? She's going to beat Saki Kashima. I'm sure Fukigen Death will get
Fukigen Death is next in line, I bet.
You know, you'll see the same people. Maybe they pick someone new up and they'll come in and they'll be the new person and they'll hold the title and then they'll move on. So I guess I get it. I mean, my argument would be like, if you don't really know what to do with the title and you're like, oh, we want to, you know, it's just like all our other titles, just get rid of it. Just seems, I don't know, very odd. It sort of worked well at the beginning. It worked here because I was like, oh, of course, Saki Kashima stinks. And so lost the first fall in 35 seconds. And I was like, oh, okay. Of course, the problem is, and Kelly, you mentioned this at the top of your answer, which is that now you're going to have, you know, Mae Sierra dropping a fall to Saki Kashima.
Yeah, everyone's going to be.
Yeah. If she wrestles Fukigen Death, Fukigen Death is probably going to get a fall.
Yep.
Like, you're just establishing more. It's sort of like the high-speed title didn't really matter. It didn't really ever feel, except for, like, Starlight Kid, Azumi, like, that class of people who already clearly had the company behind them in some fashion. This clearly is not, like, a promotional belt in any way. It's not like, oh, you know, they were high-speed champion for 3 months, and then they lost it, and now we're going to move them up the chain. It's sort of like, well, we don't have anything for you right now, so we'll give you the high-speed title.
Yeah, now it's just throw them in there with all the goofballs.
Yeah, and this, I think, makes that worse, because you're like, oh, you know, went 2-1 with Saki Kashima. You know, we'll go 2-1 with Fukigen Death. Like, I'm not sitting here very excited being like, oh, this makes Mae Sierra look great. It's like, no, it just makes her look like she's some middle of the road, lower card chump. You know, I think there could be exciting. And also, I think that doing something like this would probably require something that Stardom does not have the, I want to say fortitude, but fortitude isn't the right word. You got to have some people win 2-0. Now, look, this is the first one. Maybe that starts happening all the time, and we're like, oh, we were wrong. You know, Mae Sierra should come out and beat Fukigen Death 2-0. Should have come out, beat Saki Kashima 2-0. Like, that would be good. That would be a gimmick you could use. You know, I'm in high-speed title matches, and I haven't dropped a fall. You know, the same thing that they've done sometimes with the pure title in Ring of Honor, where it's like, oh, I'm the champion, we have these rope breaks, and I don't need my rope breaks, I don't use them. Like, makes you look good. But I have a feeling, based on the way this company is largely booked, we're going to be seeing 95%, if not 100%, 2-1.
Yeah.
2-1. Time limit draws, probably. You know, it's like, oh, you went over half the time limit with Saki Kashima, you know, who I would say is at the bottom of the pecking order or close to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are you going to go if you have anyone of any note in this match? So
this feels like the beginning of the end for the title.
Yeah, it feels like something where they're like, we don't really know what to do. We'll try this. It probably will not make much difference. And I don't know why they want to keep it. Like, just get rid of it.
Yeah.
It seems like a thing where they want to hold on to it to be like, like Seedling is doing high speed matches. And I guess they want to hold on to it to be like, no, we're the high speed company. But it's like, you aren't really.
No. And also now, especially, they probably want to keep it because Rossi did the Superfly title and they're like, well, fuck that guy.
That is true. I didn't even think about that. But it's felt for years like a title that they're sort of like, ugh, we have to book this title. Ooh, yeah. Okay. Well, Fukigen Death, what are you doing?
Smoking a cigarette, reading the newspaper.
The semi-main of this show was the Ring of Honor World Women's title match. Athena successfully defending her title against Tekla. That was all built off the Wrestle Dynasty show. Kelly, what did you think of this match?
I was kind of disappointed by this. I thought it felt weirdly low effort from everyone involved. It just kind of dragged. I was shocked to see that it was less than 15 minutes. I felt like way more than that to me. And even the hate interference spot felt so half-assed. It was just weird. It was like no one gave a shit. And that's shocking to me with how Athena is. It's just weird.
I thought it was mostly fine. I think Tekla is good, but I think probably she has the ceiling of like, this is maybe her ceiling of, okay, she's challenging for, I don't know, in this spot, sort of a mid-card title. But I mean, I guess in the world of Stardom, it's like the Ring of Honor world title is not all that important, even though sort of in Ring of Honor it is. I thought it was mainly fine. It seemed clear that they were not going for like a great title match. I like some of the energy. I like the power bombs at the end from Athena.
Yeah, that was good.
That was the highlight for me, power bombing Tekla over and over again. I was like, oh, this is cool. But largely a match. And of course, Kelly and I would say are the predominant hate haters.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that involves them, I'm like, yeah, all right. Come on in. But fine. Nothing great. But I think had this and the main event been switched, I think maybe we would have gotten maybe not even like higher effort, because it didn't feel to me like they weren't giving effort. It just felt like they were okay to go out there and be like, we're in the semi-main. Let's just go out there and sort of do a standard match. You know, no one is thinking that Tekla's going to win the title. So
yeah, that also didn't help anything.
It was just sort of like, oh, we'll go out, we'll do a match, like a very sort of indie show. Like, hey, we're in the middle of the card. We're two good wrestlers, but we're not main eventing and this doesn't really mean a lot. So let's just go out there and not like get injured. yeah. And then the main event was the Artist of Stardom titles on the line. The Cosmic Angel Trio champions, Natsupoi, Sirayano, and Tom Nakano, defeating the Cosmic Angels Trio of Aya Sakura, Sayaka Karara, and Yuna Mizumori in 18 minutes and 38 seconds. After I said that Yuna was not being, you know, we had that whole debate. She was in the main event of this show, of course.
Yeah, they heard us.
Losing. But I was like, oh, okay. I thought this was an enjoyable match. I wasn't crazy for it. I would say the show in general is not one that I would recommend going out of your way to watch any of it. I thought it was perfectly fine. It was very well attended. So that's good for Stardom. But I thought it was enjoyable, but I wasn't leaping up or thinking, oh, what a great match. Thank God I watched this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of where I am. Like, I did enjoy it. I went 3.5 on it, but it wasn't, you know, it didn't make the notebook. I did enjoy that we've got like two classes of Cosmic Angels to kind of fight over this title. That was fun. And really, I think if you did want to give the high speed title an actual go, the young team of Cosmic Angels is probably three people you would toss in that division.
Yeah, I mean, the question really is, do they care enough? Because you could get a lot of people in that division, but you would then have to probably try and establish it as more than just like, we put people here when they're not doing anything.
I feel like giving Saya the title was kind of like the last gasp of them trying.
Well, and that was sort of like, oh, this will be interesting. And then it didn't last very long.
Yeah, exactly.
It was sort of like, well, we don't have anything for you right now, but we know you're going to be important, so we'll give you this title that really doesn't mean all that much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think really any belt, and, you know, they have the, you know, they call it the high-speed title, but there are no special rules. I mean, I guess the thing is they sometimes go fast, but...
Yeah.
You know, other than that, it's sort of like, well, anyone could be in the division if they really cared. And then you're debating it against the future of Stardom, which sort of, it doesn't serve the same purpose, but feels like they're on the same level.
Mm-hmm. But still, it does feel more important, though, I would say.
But I would say there's less baggage with the future of Stardom.
Oh, yeah.
Title than there is with the high speed.
Yeah. But they do make like, like when Hanan had a long run, they made that feel important and all that stuff.
So, yeah, overall, I think a show, if you want to go watch it, you'll probably have a perfectly fine time. But if you miss it, not much missed, I would say.
Yeah.
Marigold had two shows. The first was also on January 13th, highlighted by the Marigold World title match, Utami defeating Tank. Kelly,
Boy. My goodness, this was bad. Tank just kind of wrestles in slow motion, and God bless her, Utami did her damnedest to make things work. But like, I don't know. I don't think it was going to happen. Tank is just like remarkably green and should have not be in a main event title match. Like, that's just, I don't know what they were thinking. And it goes to show she does not have the instincts necessary for that, because as soon as the match was over, she got back up, like threw a little tantrum, and then walked to the back before Utami even made it to her feet at all. Just like, what the fuck? What are you doing? Just real not great. First title match for Utami, first title defense for Utami, but thankfully it was only like 10.5 minutes, so they didn't go to like a 25-minute match. I went 2.5 stars. I now that I'm looking back at my score, I think that's kind of generous.
In many ways, the classic old school 2014, as we've talked about, 2014
yep.
Stardom booking of finding a random person from Europe who may or may not be any good to come in and challenge for the title. So that's back. You know, we look back wistfully and then you live it and you're like, oh God.
Yeah. It's like, oh wait, this wasn't any good the first time.
Yeah. I would say, you know, not trying to be overly mean here, I would say there's really nothing, you know, with Bozilla, it was sort of like, oh, you know, she's not all the way there in the ring, but she's got great presence. You know,
yeah.
She has something, and everyone sort of saw it in that first match when Marigold kicked off. So it was sort of like, okay, the in-ring isn't there. That can be worked on, but she's got something. We know she's got something. Like, to me, Tank is someone I'm like, what is there?
She doesn't have anything.
Where it's like, oh, the thing that makes you really think, oh, I want to see more of her is like if you have to watch another tank match, Kelly, what are you looking most forward to?
Hoping that they swap her out with Southern Indy Tank.
Or Tank Abbott.
Yes. If we're ranking the tanks, she's at the bottom.
Well, Kelly, it's interesting you said, I don't know who would put her in a main event. but could you believe that then, less than a week later, she was in another main event?
That crazy bastard.
Marigold running a show on the 19th, just hours ago from when we recorded this, at Corican Hall. That show was main evented by the tag title match, Bozilla and Tank taking on Nanai and Sari in the main event, and a shock victory for the newest super rookie, Sari, winning the titles with Nanai. Kelly, what were your thoughts? We'll start with the main event. We've got some other matches on the show, but what did you think of the main event and the result?
You know, it was a match that had Tank in it, so it wasn't great. Sari Yamaoka looks good. I think she's got a... God damn it, my phone that thought I said Sari. Stop it. Stop doing that. Oh.
You should... We just have to say Sari.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought she looked pretty good here. I enjoyed the tag team with Nanae. I really enjoyed that it looked like they rode off Tank by having Bozilla attack her after the bell, so that was cool. But overall, a pretty unremarkable match, I thought.
I will also say that Bozilla did tweet, essentially saying, you know, this is why I work alone, essentially burying Tank.
Good.
On, I guess, the way out.
Good.
I would think. So that seems to be over.
Have a lot left in the tank.
There you go. And now she's leaving and we've gotten in that pun. So now she really can leave.
Yep.
You know, I thought I was with you that I thought the match was okay. I think I was most excited for Bozilla sort of wandering Corican Hall, you know, throwing Sari into the West sign and all of that stuff. I thought that was the most fun part. You know, I don't think it's necessarily poor booking. It just seems to me more and more Marigold is a company booked by someone who has the exact opposite sensibilities that I do when it comes to wrestling. Like, I'm like, okay, it's another super rookie. We've sort of already been through, oh, this person is a super rookie when they were sort of good, but not spectacular. And it's just the idea, and I'll go more into this with the Superfly title, just the idea of that no one seemingly in the company can ever appear weak, you know? Oh, I've had less than 10 matches. Oh, that doesn't matter. I'm the strongest wrestler who's ever, you know, I'm going to go out and win the title. You know, we're going to time limit draws. We never lose. I guess I'll go to it now because this sort of dovetails in. The Superfly title match, Victoria Yuzuki defeating Yuki Mashiro, a match that I thought was pretty enjoyable.
Yeah.
But it was so funny to me on commentary. You know, it was Stuart and Sonny. And Stuart and Sonny are essentially saying, Victoria is a flawless wrestler.
She was really weird.
She's flawless. She has no problem. She has no weaknesses. And then, of course, Sonny, I think realizing that people can actually see what's happening in her matches, goes, oh, yeah, well, she may have a problem now and then, but she's really good. She's really good. Of course, minutes later, they botched the finish.
Yeah, what happened there? Like, I thought Mashiro got kind of like knocked loopy on that.
I don't know what happened because it seemed very, you know, she did this. I think it was a straight jacket suplex.
Yeah.
But then it seemed like, At first I thought, oh, Yuki's reversing it into like pin of her own. I mean, the ref was also over there counting as no one's shoulders were down.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, and then they sort of got up and I was like, oh, they screwed it up. And of course she hit the same exact move again and won the match. And I was like, okay, clearly. Yeah. Also very interesting that during that botch, commentary was absolutely dead silent. It was like nothing was happening. I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And it's dead quiet.
Yeah, that was very weird. And especially like Mashiro kind of just laid on the ground for a good long while after that. So that's what made me think that she got kind of knocked out a little bit on that. And like it felt weird, especially because there Yuzuki was just like, all right, we're going to do the same exact thing. I think it's going to work out better this time.
Which is one of my least favorite, like, I guess I get that it's the finish. So you're like, oh, I'm going to hit my move and win. But I always hate when it's like, well, we botched the move. Let's just do it again. Let's do the same thing over again. I'm like,
at least like stand up and do like the, you know, like the slash across your throat. Like, oh, I'm putting them away with it this time. Like, don't just be like, well, what you saw just didn't happen.
Yeah. But anyway, my sort of initial point was the presentation of everyone in the company as these are all flawless wrestlers. They have no problem. You know, Victoria Yuzuki, she's very young, but actually she's the best wrestler you've ever, you know, she's flawed. She has no flaws to her game is so boring to me as a story. Like it's a deficiency in storytelling ability. It feels to me because it feels 100 times more interesting to me to say, look, this person is very young. They have not been wrestling for a while. They're still, you know, in many ways could be considered a rookie, you know, but they managed to win this title. Like that is really great, but they're still a rookie. They're inexperienced. They could lose this title at any moment.
But what if they're $1 million?
They could make, you know, they could make a mistake at any moment and lose the title because they're not experienced. They don't know what it's like, you know, being a title holder who people are coming against. Like that to me is 1,000 times more interesting a story than going.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
They're perfect. They're amazing. They're the best. They're the greatest wrestler. Because also then you have nowhere to go.
Yeah.
Like, what is she then going to become the greatest wrestler? Like, there's so many stories you can tell with, and this is a problem, I think, across the board in many ways in wrestling. There are stories you can tell with losing. There are stories you can tell with weakness that people don't want to do because everyone wants to appear like I'm a flawless wrestler. I have no problems. I'm going to go out. I'm going to win every match, blah, 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 that I think are much less interesting than the idea of, you know, I have to defend my title and I don't really know what I'm doing and I'm very talented, but it's not all there yet.
Like, you know, who's good with that kind of storytelling? Tokyo Joshi.
Yeah.
And to the point where a lot of us fans don't trust them to follow up on those stories because across the board, wrestling is so bad about it. But it's like in the case of Mio Watanabe with her losing the tournament and, you know, losing that match to Ryo Mizunami, all that stuff came back in her title run.
Yeah, that's very true. Now they don't, sometimes they don't do it.
Yeah.
You know, they sort of started doing that with Maki and then it never went anywhere.
Yeah.
But yes, and it's just, there's a level of flatness to me when it's like all of these wrestlers, no matter if they are, have had one match or have had 50, you know, 500 matches, they're all equally amazing because they're all the best wrestlers you've ever seen. It's like, okay. But I can also see with my eyes, you know, if you're telling me this wrestler is flawless and then they make four mistakes in front of my eyes, then I'm not going to believe anything you say on commentary. You know, there's nothing wrong. She's very young. As I said last time, you know, I made the joke about she's the Sabu of Marigold.
Uh-huh.
But it's like, she's young. You know, she made some mistakes in that big match that we talked about 2 weeks ago, but that's fine. I was like, you know, she made some mistakes. She's young. She's got to button it up. But sitting there, you know, it's the old classic, don't piss on my head and tell me it's raining sort of thing, where it's like, she isn't the best wrestler in the world. She's a very good young wrestler. She's a very good young talent. And, you know, also, if you tell me everyone is equally as good, then who do I really care about? Because they're all just the same automaton good wrestlers. So anyway,
all the best wrestlers fight. Where the best wrestle, Marigold?
Yeah, but as I said, I think it's just that's the way Rossi books, and that's the way I don't like things being booked.
Yeah.
You know, would I have given Sari the tag titles in under 10 matches in her career? I probably would not have done that.
But I also would not have given Tank the tag titles either.
That is true. You know, you're telling me you wouldn't have main evented Tank with multiple shows, sight unseen?
I don't think I would have.
And I'm saying sight unseen. I have no indication whether it was seen before or not, but I'm giving Rossi the benefit of the doubt that he hasn't seen this person, because if he has, we've got bigger problems.
I would wager he just saw a picture of, he just went on Google, typed in
Tank.
tall European woman wrestlers, and then went, oh!
Tell her I've got lucha masks.
Would she be willing to put a mask on so I can have it later? Oh, and speaking of masks, now with the Yuzuki thing where they're just like, oh, you know, she's wearing Mayu's mask. She's holding down the fort for her. I'm like, I don't know. That seems weird, especially because, like I said last time, every day that passes, the more I'm like, I don't think Mayu's making the jump.
Yeah, and I mean, that was the big fear where it was like, oh, all these people are out of contract and they're jumping and there'll be other contracts coming up. Like, thinking of the Stardom roster.
I think Mayu's was up in October is what I remember people saying.
Well, no, I thought she got extended.
Okay.
I feel like that was reported, but then people were like, oh, maybe that's not true.
Oh, okay.
But I'm like, if you're... I guess think of the Stardom roster. Can you think of anyone who you'd be like, yeah, get over to Marigold?
No.
No, I can't either. You know, I was thinking, you know, they had Yuki Mashiro. I don't know what's going to end up happening with her. She lost the Ice Infinity title in the past 2 weeks, which we'll talk about in a couple minutes. You know, maybe she comes in full-time, or if not full-time, more regularly. I mean, if she becomes a more regular roster member, she's like the fifth best wrestler on the entire roster.
Yeah.
I mean, easily, like, with no issue. And I think she's good. That isn't to diminish her. I think she's a very good wrestler. But I think it talks more about this. The roster construction continues to be very bizarre. I mean, they're talking about Nagisa Nosaki challenging Mai Sakurai. They're like, it's her third title singles title opportunity since the company started. I'm like, you've given Nagisa Nosaki in less than 1 year, three singles title matches?
Yeah.
Like, ew. And I like her better than I think many other people like Nosaki. So,
oh, and we saw in that match, Chiaki still cannot use a chair.
Yeah.
Still bad at that.
Hasn't learned. That was another match, you know, for all my thoughts on Mai Sakurai, I thought that match was fine.
Yeah.
The only part that really got me excited was when Nosaki dropped Mai Sakurai on her head with a suplex. And I was like, oh, that's fun. And then I sort of went back to saying this is not notable, which I guess is good for Mai Sakurai that I wasn't sitting there going, ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. but yeah, Marigold, we'll see where this is going, but it certainly feels like it's not trending my way personally.
Nah.
I'm not sitting here going, oh, this is a company for me. And especially as I think Stardom has had has been very good in the last few months, if not longer, and I've enjoyed what they've been doing. Mm-hmm. So maybe Marigold was the kick in the pants they needed to be like, hey, let's get our act together.
It might have been.
And I guess if that works out that way, then positive has come out of, you know, the situation.
Yeah.
So. Also, Seedling had a show on the 17th, main evented with a big title change, Venny defeating Seri in 23 minutes and 37 seconds to become the Seedling Beyond the Sea champion. Kelly, this match currently at a 9.14 on Cage Match, 43 votes. I'm really interested to hear what you thought because I am not at 9.14.
Really?
Yes.
Are you? I am at 4.75. This is my, as of now, 2025 Joshi match of the year. I fucking loved this match. I thought the pacing was perfect. I loved the mat work to open the match. I thought it was all done really well and worked at like it was worked with a sense of urgency that you don't see a lot in that kind of opening mat work for a title match. I liked the brawl on the outside after that, and then once they got back in, they just threw bombs and tossed each other on their heads. I liked Vaney working over Sari's arm to kind of lessen her striking ability, and just I thought tremendous performances from both of them. Like I loved this match.
All right, that's interesting. I was at 4 stars. I thought the opening 10 minutes was a snooze.
Really?
Because they made the 10-minute call, and I was like, we've got to like start doing something here.
Interesting.
I don't know. I went in with very high expectations because of these two workers. I thought Seri, of course, very good, throwing shoot headbutts in Shinkiba first ring.
It makes such a good noise in Shinkiba.
I'm like, wow. Good that Venny won the title. I mean, I guess. I don't know if Seedling's going to shut down in 1 week.
They waited possible. Until after the season of Fantasy Joshi to belt her up.
Because I was thinking Venny needs something to do because she very much feels like someone who's just sort of wandering the earth. After 10 minutes, it definitely picked up. That's why I got to 4 stars, because I liked the back half of the match. But the first half, I just sort of felt like, you know, and then there was the interference, the outside interference at the beginning, which I was sort of like, okay.
I could have done without that, but it led into, I enjoyed the brawling on the outside that came from it, though.
Yeah, so I thought it was solid, but it was below my expectations as to what I thought they could do. So I was at 4. So I guess, you know, that would be an 8. So I'm not majorly below, but I went on and was like, oh, 9.14. That's like 4.75, which of course I was not close to.
And that's where I am.
So there you go. Two different opinions on the match. Kelly, we don't often have this on the show.
And it's rare that then one of us is with the consensus.
Yeah. But again, I still went 4 stars. I thought it was a good match.
Why'd you hate the match, Taylor?
I know. I guess also I have such high Seri expectations that I'm like, this is going to be the craziest thing I ever see. And this, I think you could agree, this is not the craziest thing you've ever seen. So, but listeners, you should take a watch. Let us know who you agree with. So that was Seedling. Tokyo Joshi had some shows in the past 2 weeks. Rika Tatsumi won the Princess of Princess number one contender battle royale on January 11th. And then the 18th and 19th were the first two shows of the Max Heart Tag Team Tournament. Kelly, what were your thoughts on the first show and maybe your thoughts overall on the tournament, as of course the last time we recorded they had not announced any of the teams or any of the brackets yet, so this is our first time talking about any of this really.
I feel like at least in this early going, all of the matches except for like the main event of night one go exactly the way you think they're going to. It just feels like very obvious booking. And I don't know, like, I always kind of have a problem with this tournament where it's just boring as hell for those first couple of shows. But yeah, like, the first show, I didn't get a chance to watch the show on the 19th. I thought it was fine. The first couple tournament matches were whatever. I went 2 3/4, 3, and then 3 1/4. And then the main event, I went 3 3/4 on because I thought that was actually really good. Because it's Endo and Suzume in there, so of course it's going to be a good tag match. But yeah, like, I don't know, this tournament typically bores me to tears and this hasn't changed.
I thought when they first announced the bracket, I think it sort of reinforced the thing that we've talked about on the show for the past couple months, which is sort of the gaping hole in the middle of this roster. Talking about roster less construction again, but there's just so few mid-carders in this company or established mid-carders that it really felt like, oh, it's either, you know, like Shoko Nakajima and Hyper Masao, very established, or it's, you know, Kira Summer and Ivy Steele, two absolute rookies. And there aren't really any teams where you're like, oh, this is sort of a mid-card team. They could really use this tournament for a breakout. Now, I think there's one, which is Wakina and Yuki, who defeated Daisy Monkey. So I thought that was sort of, it was an interesting result, but it was also the two, I think, most interesting teams in the tournament, which was helped sort of put a pin in the fact that it was Endo getting pinned to lose the match. You know, Suzume has now won a singles title. You know, they lost the match, but it was Endo getting pinned. So we'll be interested to see, you know, Endo was in that battle royale for the Princess of Princess number one contender and didn't win. Not totally shocking, but I wonder if they're drifting the story towards, you know, Endo being the weak link in the team. They may not be. It may just be a result where they don't want to pin Suzume because she's a title holder and they don't want to give a title match out, but just interesting to think about. I thought the top two matches, the Max the Impaler and Palm match and the main event, were really the only matches on either night that I would in any way recommend. I sort of agree with you. I don't think I feel as strongly as you do, Kelly, that I'm like bored out of my mind, but I think the first two rounds of this tournament, even as the company has grown, have always sort of felt like, oh, we're doing this on a house show. Here you go. You know, we're in a small venue. Oftentimes the teams that are in this tournament are less experienced. Oh, here's an experienced team going against two rookies. Here's a veteran and a rookie facing a veteran and a rookie. So it's always sort of been this way. I was not tortured, but I was sort of like, this is all fairly average. The first night better than the second night. I don't really think there's anything in the second night that I could recommend. that you go out of your way for. There was even more comedy in the Max and Palm, Raku and Yuki Aino match. They were running around the running all around the arena. But yeah, it's usually this next round, which is coming up, and then of course the finals, which is sort of, it's always sort of funny now because the last match is usually always really good. And, you know, it gets close to match of the year lists, especially just in Tokyo Joshi, and it sort of wipes your memory of the opening rounds. You're like, oh, remember that great final match? And you're like, yeah, the Max Heart tournament's great. It always gives us one great match. And it's like, yeah, it's a great match, but it sort of wipes the memory. And then you start over every year and you're like, oh yeah, I remember these opening rounds are usually just sort of like, oh, these are fine. And these were fine to me. Mm-hmm. So that is Tokyo Joshi. What else was happening? Oh, as I mentioned in Ice Ribbon on the 13th, Manami Katsu defeated Yuki Mashiro to win the Ice Infinity title. Again, don't know if that portends something with Yuki and Marigold or not. I don't really know what Ice Ribbon is doing with their booking. I'm not sure Ice Ribbon knows what they're doing with their booking based on the fact that people get injured, people leave, people do something just about every week. So that is that. Diana had a show on the 19th, Kyoko Inoue retaining the Elizabeth title against Himiko and Yuki Miyazaki, and Hiragi Karumi defeating Ayame Sasamura to win the Diana title. And then Kelly, something outside of the past 2 weeks, but they just uploaded the Regina DeWave title match between Saya Kamitani and Kohaku, and I know that you gave it a watch, so want to give your thoughts on that.
This was really good. It was a lot of fun. I thought Saya and Kohaku had really great chemistry and just worked at a really high pace. I think, you know, Saya keeps improving as a heel, and it was weird. Like, hate to me works really well as a small room gimmick. Like, I thought the stuff they did here was fine. It didn't bother me at all. Like, it worked in this venue more so than like the big places that Stardom runs. So I don't know. Maybe just send them all off to Wave. I thought the blood elevated things when Saya got busted open. I wish it came from something other than Natsukatora's weak ass chair shot, but you know what? She ran the razor for this business, and it looked good. So good stuff. I think I liked this more than the match against Tom for where she won the belt in Stardom. So yeah, I went 3¾. I'd definitely check it out. It's up on Stardom World, so give it a watch.
And that is everything that has happened in the past 2 weeks. So what is coming up? We're heading into a little bit, I would say, of a lull in the action. But Stardom does have a Korakuen Hall show on February 2nd. That is being headlined by a World of Stardom title match. Saya Kamitani defending against Suzu Suzuki. Oz has a show on the 26th of January. Crusher Maidamari is in the main event, former wrestler from FMW, and now wrestles. Does FMWE still exist?
I think it does.
Okay. Has wrestled there, was in a battle royal, I believe, last year in Oz, but this a six-person tag in the main event. So something a little bit different there. And then the Max Heart tournament will continue. On the 25th of January, Yuki Kamifuku and Wakana Uehara will face off against Max the Impaler and Palm Harajuku. And Himiwari and Shino Suzuki will face Shoko Nakajima and Hyper Masao. Kelly, we always do this when we get to this round. Who do you think is going to the finals of the Max Heart tournament?
I'm thinking Kamiyu and Wakana versus Shoko and Misao.
Yeah, that seems like the obvious.
Yeah.
That would be my choice as well. And also a match I think would be very good. We probably get Serious Hyper, which we always enjoy.
Always good.
Here on Jumping Bomb Audio. So we will see. That's on the 25th. Probably the biggest show happening in the next 2 weeks is Seriism 6, happening on January 23rd. The card is as follows: Shaw versus Victoria Yuzuki, Jaguar Yokota and Kazuna Tanaka versus Yumi Kohoda and Miku Kanai, Chi-Chi versus Takumi Aroha. Kaori Ito and Yurika Oka will face off against the very interesting team of Bozilla and Mio Momono.
And hell yeah.
And in the main event, it will be Seri versus Mako Satomura, a rematch from their match of the year contender back in, oh, I haven't looked this up, 2017? Do you know what I'm talking about, Kelly?
I don't know if I do. I don't think I've ever seen that one.
Hold on. Now I'm looking it up. Or I'm just having a, you know, something. Let's see. Maybe I'm just crazy. Am I thinking of something else?
I don't know. Because, I mean, it sounds like a good match.
2019, is that the one I'm thinking of? Sendai Girls.
But that was that the year that Sari had like a million good matches?
Yes.
So yeah, that probably just got lost in the shuffle for me.
Yeah, although on Cage Match it's only 8.47. So maybe I'm wrong. Now I'm like, oh, I need to figure out what I'm thinking about. But that was the year that she was so good, and then the top of the following year, they were like, oh, she's going to WWE.
Yeah.
I think that was how the, how it went. Let's see. I'm looking at my 5-star matches for 2020. I guess maybe it wasn't. Maybe I'm thinking of the Hashimoto match, which I did go 5 stars on. Who knows? Anyway, it should be a great match.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
I'm hyped. It should be a great show.
Oh, no, I did go 5 stars. Let me go back. Mako Satomura versus Seri from April 16th, 2019 in Sendai Girls. I went 5 stars.
All right.
One of three Seri matches I had 5 stars in 2019. Versus Fujimoto in Ice Ribbon versus Hashimoto in Sendai Girls versus Mako Satomura in Sendai Girls. Because that's when she was champion in Sendai Girls. I'm all saying this through like the fog of it being 6 years ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, should be a good match. The Serism shows are always very good and fun. So that, the big show. That we'll talk about next time, because that's happening in just a few days' time.
Hell yeah.
So there we go.
Take the Hat Man's money, turn it into cool shows.
Kelly, we've reached the end of the show, so it's time for Kelly's Corner. Do you have anything for us?
I have picked up on my phone the Animal Crossing Pocket Camp app. I started playing it when it initially came out like 7 years ago and then fell off. And now there is just a new version where you pay $10 and you just get the whole game. You don't have to do any kind of microtransactions or anything. And so I've just been playing that. And it's a fun little Animal Crossing game on my phone.
Well, there you go. Nostalgic recommendation.
Yeah.
So that is all for us on Jumping Bomb Audio. We will be back with you in 2 weeks' time to talk more Joshi. But until then, so long.
Goodbye, everybody.
Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-star match game, the Pro Wrestling Quiz Show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill 3 contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance.
But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.